Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we turn to God's Word this morning, we turn to 1 Kings chapter 14, looking at verses 21 through 31, as we turn back to Judah, considering the life and the death of Rehoboam, king of Judah, son of Solomon. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed, more than all that their fathers had done. For they built also for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also perverted persons in the land. They did according to the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. It happened in the fifth year of Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them, then brought them back into the guard room. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. So Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. Then Abijam, his son, reigned in his place. Thus far the reading of God's Word. As we open God's Word this morning, we need to understand that God's standard is perfect. Too often the church today says that, yeah, we can do whatever we want. We're not perfect, yes, but God will save us. God's okay with that. I'm sorry, that's the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches about God. The only way of salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. And Christ paid the penalty for all true believers for all of their sins in his death on the cross and before. We need to be very clear that God just does not wink at our sins. And as we look at this passage, we see Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, how far we have already fallen since David. Rehoboam, son of Solomon, is not inactive in the sins of Judah. In fact, he's very active. And so as we look at this passage, we want to look at Rehoboam's reign under the standard of Almighty God, the perfect standard of Almighty God. And we see that he falls far short. And that's what we want to look at this morning, how Rehoboam falls far short of the standard of God. Rehoboam reigns over Judah, we read in verses 21 through 24, and he allows it to fall further into sin. In verses 25 through 28, we see the treasures of God's temple taken away to Egypt. And then in verses 29 through 31, we see that Rehoboam dies fairly much unmourned. So first of all, we look at Rehoboam reigning over Judah, allowing it to fall further into sin. Now, the first thing that the passage very much and very clearly tells us about Rehoboam is that his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And remember what the Bible says about Ammon, Deuteronomy 23, verses 3 and 4. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not eat you with bread and water on the road when you came out from Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. The Ammonites were Israel's family out of the same family tree, and yet they had treated Israel very badly as they had escaped Egypt, and so God is very angry with them. They are not to be part of the people of Israel. Well, right here, right away, Rehoboam's mother is an Ammonitess. To the tenth generation, they're not supposed to be part of Israel. And yet, here he is, king of Israel, and causing great sin. That's what we read in verses 22 through 24. They did evil. God's measuring line is perfection. We must understand that. See how quickly they fall. From David, who did that which was good in the sight of God. Indeed, he was a man after God's own heart. Solomon fell very far from that, and yet we truly believe that he is a believer. And here we have Rehoboam. We read in 2 Chronicles 12, verse 1, "Now it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him." He causes and directs Israel to fall far into sin. We don't have a very good thing going on here. Jeroboam in the 10 tribes and Rehoboam in the 2 tribes, the 1.5 tribes, both causing the people to fall further into sin. And they provoke God to jealousy. God is a jealous God. And that's one of the things he says. He says, "My name is jealous" in certain places. And God is jealous of his right honor, glory, and of his worship, his due. As a husband, I'm jealous of the love of my wife. And my wife is jealous of my love for her. And rightly so. And that jealousy is a good thing. We need to understand that. Not a jealousy that is a false jealousy about things that are not true. But a good jealousy is that of, for example, here God. Deuteronomy 32, verse 21, "They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not a god. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will move them to anger by a foolish nation." And of course, that's a promise of the Christian people of God. And God doesn't just wink at our sins, as we've said. He forgives them based on the merits of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Joshua writes, Joshua 24:19, "But Joshua said to the people, 'You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins.'" God doesn't just wink at them. And certainly here we need to understand that God does not wink at the sins of Israel. They build high places, sacred pillars, wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. They're going back to the old Canaanite religions. God says, Deuteronomy 16:22, "You shall not set up a sacred pillar which the Lord your God hates." And we also read about perversion, perverted persons. Now, this can reference the area of homosexuality, Genesis 19, verse 5. Lot and those of Sodom and Gomorrah, who are trying to know carnally the angels of God that were staying with him. But much more than that, it can also have the area of pagan worship involved. Later, it would come even into the temple, 2 Kings 23, verse 7. "Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the wooden image." We need to understand something. The perversion that goes so often right along with the horrors of the sins that go on in our culture. And as we look at that, we need to be reminded by what Paul says, that we are not to take delight in these things, he says in Romans. We need to be careful not just to be those who are involved in them, but not to take delight in them. And I think that points very clearly at the television set. We need to be careful what we watch and what we approve by what we watch. "Doing according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out," we read in verse 24. Reading in Deuteronomy 9, verses 4 and 5, "Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, 'Because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me into possess this land,' but it is because of the wickedness of those nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess the land, but because of the wickedness of those nations that the Lord your God drives out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Notice that the children of Israel, when they were going in, were not to think of it because of their righteousness. Certainly not. It was because of God's mercy and of his grace to his people. We need to understand that. And so, as well, then, Paul reminds us that it is not because God can't cut us off if we're sinners, if we do not be obedient to his commandments according to his law and trust in Christ. He will take us off of the tree just as he took off the people of Israel when they sinned. And so the treasures of God's temple are taken to Egypt, we read in verses 25 through 28. God's punishment is swift. We read that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. And we read then that Rehoboam makes bronze shield in their place. This is already in the 5th year of King Rehoboam, not long from the building of the temple to already it has been ransacked. It has been cleaned out because of the disobedience of God's people to him. The temple adornments are removed. We read in 1 Kings 10, verse 17, about Solomon, "He also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 3 minas of gold went into each shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon." God's temple's adornments are removed, because God's dwelling with the people of Judah, with his people, his chosen people, is more distant and strained because of their sins against him. And as we said, Rehoboam then makes bronze shields. It's very interesting that Rehoboam does go into the house of the Lord, despite the fact that he is worshiping at other places, that he is allowing and even promoting worship on every high hill and under every green tree. He replaces the bronze shields, and they're carried in front of him when he goes into the temple. He had learned from his father to worship God alongside of other gods. And we need to see that. We need to be very clear on that. When we say that, well, my golf game or my different things that we put first are more important than being in God's temple on his Lord's Day in worship, we are saying to our children that God really isn't that important. Psalm 81, verses 8 and 9. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you will listen to me. There shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. God must be worshipped alone. If we put other things alongside of God, if we put other things before God, we are in grave danger. And indeed, we're also telling our family and our children that God really isn't that important. And so Rehoboam dies, and we see that he dies fairly well unmourned. Again, his acts are written in the chronicles of the kings of Judah, we read. He made war against God's command against Jeroboam, we read. 1 Kings 12:21-24, when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. Therefore they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. Yet obviously there was still battle, there was still fighting. And Rehoboam is buried in state, and his son reigns in his place. But in the same breath, the chronicler reminds us of Rehoboam's mother, this Ammonitess, and that an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. And so Rehoboam reigns over Israel, over the tribe and a half of Judah and Benjamin, yet we see that his reign is not one to the glory of God, it is one that is a reign of doing wickedness, of evil in the sight of the Lord. And as we consider this, we need to understand that in the background are all God's promises, so very clearly, so very fully to Israel, and that God had spoken through prophets to Rehoboam, to Jeroboam, telling them how they were to be kings, how they were to serve the Lord. And we have that in our history as well. And we need to be very careful that we do not throw away the truth of God's word just for man's ideas, saying, well, we know we are wiser than God. We know better. God says how we are to worship him, how we are to serve him. And we need to be very careful then to fall into step, not saying to God when he says jump, well, what do I want to do? Rather, how high? We are to worship and to serve God not according to our ideas, but according to and as he commands alone. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. If you are closer to Dickinson, we invite you to First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. Worship there is at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 10:30 a.m. Sunday mornings. If you would like to listen to this message again or to other sermons by myself and my colleagues, they can be found on the Internet at worldwidewebsermonaudio.com under NPCRCUS, or just search for my name on sermonaudio.com. If Ashley or Dickinson are too far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Animoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pierre, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, Golden Valley and Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.